seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Genesis chapter 39 and the first part of verse 6. The book of Genesis chapter 39, the first part of verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Now, Genesis 39 and the first part of verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. We have in these few chapters the wonderful record given by the Holy Spirit of the pathway that the Lord had appointed for Joseph to walk out. And it was not a pathway that was to be very pleasing to the flesh, but it was the path that God had ordained he should walk through. And the Lord has an appointed pathway for every one of his dear children. And with Joseph, it was really in four stages. Firstly, he had dwelt with his brethren, and then they were very jealous of him and sold him down into Egypt. And from then on, he walked in four places that we all began with P. And the first, of course, was the pit that his brethren cast him into. And that was a very low place and a very trying place. And so often the Lord does that with each one of his dear children. He brings them into soul distress and concern. They feel as though they're in the pit. And when we're in the pit, as Joseph was, there was only one way he could look. It was no use him looking to himself. It was no use him looking at the walls of the pit, because they couldn't help him. There was only one way to look, and that it was heavenward. And that's a wonderful thing, really, you know. There may be those of you this morning that have many things that may burden you and exercise you and concern you, whether they're in your soul or in your pathway, or whether they be in the family or in the business. But where are we looking? Are we like Joseph, or are we like Jonah? All they had to do was look up. And we need faith to do that. And the Lord had blessed Joseph with this faith. And his eyes were heavenward. And the Lord, in his sovereignty, and it was in a strange way, we may say, the Lord was to bring him up out of this. And the holy word of God, as we read, he was brought, they brought him by of the hands of the Ishmaelites when he got down into Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh. And then we find him in the second P, the house of Potiphar, where our text is found. You see, there's one thing we need to lay to heart in all this. And that was, as we read so many times in the lesson, the Lord was with him. Oh, he was. He was with him among his brethren when they hated him and persecuted him and were determined to destroy him. But the Lord was with him. They could not destroy him. And then, in Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. And the Lord prospered Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. And may it exercise each one of us that we might have the Lord with us like he was with Joseph. It's a vital thing, you know. We often pray, don't we, concerning our worship that the Lord may be in the midst. He be the master of assemblies. But we want to know it in our own heart, don't we? And if the Lord is with us, it'll be well, like it was with Joseph. Here, even in Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him and prospered the house for Joseph's sake. And the Lord wonderfully showed to Potiphar that the Lord was with Joseph. And not only this, the Lord wonderfully showed him that Joseph had wonderful ability and power to do everything. And in our text we find what Potiphar did. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Everything. And whether it be in his money affairs, the finances were all in Joseph's hand, all the accounts, all the running of the house of Potiphar was in Joseph's hand. And you may say, well, what does this mean? Well, putting it simply, Joseph was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And my great concern when this text dropped in yesterday was that we might be like Potiphar and not just leave it in the natural Joseph's hand, but in the hand of the heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus. You know, so often we pray, don't we? But how often we take maybe a particular burden we've got to the Lord, a particular concern, but how often do we leave it with him? This is what so rested upon me, because, you see, we so often bring them away with us, don't we, those burdens? We don't leave them. But with Potiphar, you see, he could leave it all in the hands of Joseph. And just before I look into this, let us just go further in the solemn part that we read in further in the lesson, and we realise, as I have indicated, it was all in the Lord's hand. You think how wonderfully the Lord kept Joseph there in that house from Potiphar's wife and the sin that she wanted him to commit. But it brought him into prison, didn't it? But you see, the Lord was in it all. Oh, he was wonderfully keeping him. And before I look into the text, let's just tarry on that, because we need keeping in so many ways, don't we? I felt so much of late the need to be kept. We read in Peter's epistle, don't we, of those who are kept by the power of God. Kept by God's power. And Peter could well write that, because he knew exactly how he needed the Lord to keep him. Because in the hour of temptation, you see, Peter fell, didn't he? And denying his Lord and Master. And the wonderful thing was with Peter, the Lord looked at Peter and prayed for Peter. And the Lord kept him. May the Lord keep us in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our steps, in our conversation, and our lives in every way. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power. Subdues their numerous complaints in every distressing hour. And the Lord wonderfully kept Joseph. But to come to our text, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Now, there are two vital things, really, in this text. The first thing is the leaving of it. And the second is, whose hand are we leaving it in? Because with Potiphar, as he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, he was leaving it in good hands, wasn't he? Hands that wouldn't fail. But let us look at the first part. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. I don't know what concerns you or may exercise you this morning, but where are you leaving it? Are you trying to manage it yourself? Or are you leaving it in the hands of the dear Lord Jesus? You know, it's a wonderful thing when we can come to the Lord in prayer and take the concern and the burden and the exercise, or maybe a particular person you pray for, and you can leave them in the Lord's hand. And not bring them away with you. Because then you're leaving it in good hands, you see. The natural man would say, oh, well, we're taking it to the Lord, but we got to do this and we got to do that for the Lord to fulfill it. You know, the Lord doesn't work like that. He brings the sinner to the place where they have to leave it in his hand and watch for him to work. You think of Hannah when she prayed the Lord would give her a Samuel. She took the burden and great concern with her into the house of God, didn't she? And she spread it all before the Lord. She left it in his hand. And she watched for the Lord to work. And you can read that first chapter and the second and the first book of Samuel and see how wonderfully the Lord did it. But she left it there, you see. It wasn't Eli that could give her a request. It wasn't any man. It was the Lord himself. And that's why she could say, after the Lord had wonderfully given her Samuel, "For this child have I prayed, and the Lord hath granted me my petition that I ask of him." Because the Lord had done it all. And when he does it all, poor soul, you can give him all the glory, all the praise. May we ever be kept from mixing our own works with God's. Because the difference is, what the Lord does is perfect. What we do, we may think it's perfect, but it's contaminated by sin. And you can never mix man's work with God's work, because we're poor sinners. And therefore, dear Hannah could truly praise and bless her God. You read that second chapter, how her heart was drawn out to heaven in praise. And it may be there's one come up this morning, "Lord, what shall we do?" It may be in a matter of providence. It may be regarding your future pathway. You young ones, concerning college, university, seek to leave it all in the Lord's hand. What does the Lord say through the hymn writer? It's a beautiful couplet, really. "He has engaged to manage all by the way and to the end." And when the Lord manages a thing, you know, it's done perfectly. Oh, it is. And the child of God can bless his holy name. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. It seemed to so rest upon me when I got up this morning, thinking on this word, of the wonderful characters that came to the Lord Jesus. We think of the dear man in the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 9, where the dear man came to the Lord Jesus because of his son, but was possessed with the devil, and Satan tried to destroy the dear man, the dear lad, casting him into the water and into the fire. And what does the Saviour say to that dear man concerning his son? He inquires of the dear man where, how long he'd had this burden, this trial. And then he says, "Bring him unto me." It's a wonderful word, isn't it? What does the hymn writer say? "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his power and love are such that none can ever ask too much. Bring him unto me." And the Lord, dear man, brought him to the Saviour. And what did the Saviour do? He cast the devils out and delivered the dear lad. And then you think of the centurion whose servant was sick. And the dear man in great authority said to this servant, "Go," and he goeth, and to another, "Come," and he cometh. He had faith to believe if he brought that servant to the Saviour, the Lord would heal him. And he felt so unworthy, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, into my house. And you may feel like that this morning. You've got all these things that concern you and burden you, and you feel so unworthy the Lord should even come to you. But what did the Lord do? He said, the dear man said to the Saviour, speak the word only and thy servant shall be healed. My servant shall be healed. And the Lord healed him from that very hour. Oh, he did. He had to bring him to Christ, Joseph. And, you know, in a small matter, maybe in Providence. And you dear children, like in school things, you know, that concern you, your lessons or exams, and it may be difficult things you have to walk through. Oh, to leave them in the Lord's hand, to bring them to Him and leave them in His hand. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He didn't say some of the things, all things. That seemed to so stand out to me when the text dropped in. He left all that he had. And may we lay that to heart this morning. There may be some of you saying, well, I've got this that burdens me, this that concerns me, and that that does. Leave it all. May that be the message to your heart and to mine this morning. Leave it all in His hands. In the hands of the heavenly Joseph. The Lord Jesus Himself. And of course, when you look through the life of Joseph further, there were many things he had to leave in the Lord's hand. Oh, there were. In his pathway. And it may be with you today, that's what you've got to do. It may be concerning the future. The great step of death, those of us that are getting down to the in the evening time of life, you know, oh, to leave it all in the Lord's hand, because you're in safe hands. Now let's look a little at the hands of the Lord. What did the psalmist say? My times are in thy hand. Beautiful words, really, aren't they? My times. Not somebody else's. Bring it right home to your own case, your own heart. And they're in thy hand. And when you think of those enemies that Joseph had, well, his brethren that should have known better, but soon jealousy crept into them, as I have indicated, you know, Joseph had to leave them all in the Lord's hand. Oh, he did. And you look how what the Lord showed Joseph was to be brought to fruition. Those that so hated him and would have destroyed him, he had to leave them in the Lord's hand. And they were all to be brought to bow down before him in Egypt. And the Lord brought that famine upon the land to bring them to that very place where they had to bow down before him. Oh yes. And yet they so hated him. And what do we read? I remember preaching from it here some years ago now. bring these men home. They were Joseph haters and they were Joseph murderers, but they got to be brought home. They were in the Lord's hand, you see. Oh, they were. And really, and I hadn't thought of naming this, but you know, really when you look at the enemies that the child of God has, we often may think, and if you've got an old nature like mine, if they come against you, we would return it. Our old nature would go against them. But, you see, it's a wonderful thing when we can leave them in the Lord's hand. Oh, yes. I remember some years ago, I had a man that really bitterly opposed me in many ways. And you know, there were times I thought, well, I'll deal with him because of it. But that's old nature. But you see, I had to leave him. And you know, the Lord brought that man right down to nothing. And he had to acknowledge that what he was doing was completely wrong. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, leave him in the Lord's hand. He'll deal with him. And you think of Satan when he attacks you, poor soul. You cannot stand against him because he has great power. But the wonderful thing is the Lord has all power. And Satan's in his hand. And if you look at it, and I've mentioned it many times over the years, in the case of Job, you look how the Lord wonderfully, in the case of Job, only permitted Satan to go so far. He allowed Satan to touch his livelihood. He allowed Satan to touch his family and to afflict dear Job from head to foot with boils. But there was one thing that the Lord said Satan could not do. Touch not his life. Job was in the Lord's hand. The circumstances were in the Lord's hand. Satan was in the Lord's hand. And he couldn't go one inch further or one centimetre further than the Lord permitted him. He was in the Lord's hand. And one, if one may name it, you think of the nation today and the solemn state it's in, but you see, it's all in the Lord's hand. And may we be given grace to leave it in his hand. To leave it all in his hand. Now, this won't make the child of God complacent and sit back and say, well, we can't do anything. You know, it will exercise the child of God that continually every day they may bring it into the Lord's hand, commit it to his hand. We think of that beautiful word in Psalm 37, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Leave it in his hand, you see. And if nothing this morning in my poor ramblings around this word, may the Lord give us that grace to leave it in his hand. You think of all what Saul had to endure, David had to endure at the hands of Saul. But you see, David was in the Lord's hand. And though Saul tried with all his power to destroy David, he couldn't, could he? David was in the Lord's hand. And you see, in the Lord's hand, there's a blessed security. Oh, there is. They're secure hands. And when he holds the child of God, he won't let them fall. yet keep them from the power of Satan. He may attack, he may roar, he may buffet the sinner on every side, but he can't destroy them. The Christian's hope shall never fail. But I said I'd look a little at the Lord's hand, you see, in Joseph's hand. They're hands of divine power. Oh yes. Power in the Lord's hand. All power. What did Jesus say before he ascended into glory? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And you look at the wonderful power he manifested when he rose on the resurrection morn. Not all the powers of death, or of the grave, or of the great stone they rolled to the sepulchre could hold him. Blessed hands, and these hands, you know, healed so many that were sick, didn't they? These hands raise the dead to life. You think of the case of Jairus' daughter. I love that word where he said to her, "Maid, arise." He took her by the hand and she arose straightway. Such was the power of his hand. But then look at it in a very solemn yet sacred way. It was those hands that were nailed to Calvary's tree. Oh, it was. Those hands that had done so much good. Oh, to leave all that we have, whether in providence, whether in grace, whether regarding the future, regarding the unknown way, the great day of death and eternity in his hand. And no better place could you leave it, poor soul. Whether they be small things or the great things of eternity, leave it in his hands. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And then think of the dear Saviour when he led the disciples out as far as to Bethany. And what did he do? He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Those hands that had suffered so much at Calvary. Those hands that had done so many wonders. He lifted them up to remind them. And it's a very sacred place to remember the great cost of their salvation. That's why he lifted up those hands and blessed them. And then was carried up into glory. Well, regarding Potiphar here, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And you see, all that took place in Potiphar's house was in his hand, Joseph's hand. And nothing failed. Oh no. You know, if you leave everything that concerns you and me this morning in the hands of the heavenly Joseph, those hands will never fail you. They'll lift you up when you're sinking. They'll strengthen you when you feel to be fainting. They work wonders when there seems no way of escape. They wonderfully provide for you It brings to one's mind, and I know I've mentioned it before, but you know, when I lived at Steeple Morden, I was a pastor at Ashwell, my car was on its, we may say, on its last legs, and I'd done many thousands of miles with it, and I begged of the Lord that he would provide me with another one, if it was his holy will. And I looked at doing it in this way and that way, because we hadn't really got the money to buy it, and I thought, well, what shall I do? And I looked at it, what we would do in this way and in that way, and in the end, I remember walking into the bedroom we had at that house there, and as I walked through the door, it was just as though the Lord said to me, now leave it in my hands. And I walked through the door, and I fell on my knees before the God of heaven. And those words what I quoted to you earlier, the Lord dropped them right into my heart. Thou art come into a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his power and love are such that none can ever ask too much. And I said, Lord, thou knowest all that I need. Thou knowest what position we're in. Do work wondrously, if it's thy holy will. And I could leave it all. I came out of that bedroom, I was finished with the thing. I left it in the Lord's hand. It's a wonderful place, you know. And you can leave it there. Not bring it away, as I said at the commencement. And you know, within 2 days during that week, I had a check, 2 checks sent me. One day on the Wednesday and one again on the Thursday. It was sufficient in them to buy a completely new car. I'd never had a new one before. And I looked at that, you know, I just melted me. You see, his hands. And let me lovingly say, whether you're old or young or whoever you may be, whatever may concern you this morning, then I'll leave it. Leave it. Like Potiphar did, in the hands of the heavenly Joseph. He left it in Joseph's hands. Leave it all in the heavenly Joseph. And let me tell you this, these hands will never fail you. We fail, but the Lord will never fail his people. You look at those sweet promises throughout the Word of God. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And he'll never fail them that trust in him. Amen.